Then in verse 3, he continues and he says, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Now, David, you see, urges this young man to stay close to the Lord and to the Word of God. That is something very important. I note that very little attention is ever given to David's legacy to Solomon. It's ordinarily ignored. And I'd like to call attention to what I believe is the legacy that David left to this man that enabled him to become one of the great kings of the earth, probably one of the best known kings that has ever been on the earth. First of all, he transferred the leadership of the nation from the house of Saul and the tribe of Benjamin to Judah, and he established the royal house of David, so that this becomes all important, as we've seen, when you get to the New Testament. The Gospel of Matthew opens with the statement, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David." That's all important. And then the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "He shall be great. He shall sit upon the throne of his father David." That's important. Now the second legacy is, he established Jerusalem as the holy city and as the religious center and the national capital for all Jews. And it's that to this day. So that when Israel took the ancient city of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, they said they haven't any notion of giving that up at all, because that goes back to David. Jerusalem was his favorite city, and now it becomes the capital, and it is Solomon who will beautify it by the building of the temple and make it a religious center. But David had already made the preparation for it, and we're going to see that as we move along. Then there is a third legacy. He stamped out idolatry, practically speaking, and he made the worship of Jehovah universal in the land. That is something that he did that is very, very important. There is another legacy that we'd like to mention. It's the fourth. He made conquests of many nations who paid tribute to Israel and its king. He extended the borders of the country to Egypt on the south and to the river Euphrates on the north and east, including far more territory than at any other time in the nation's history. Now, David is actually the one who pushed out the borders farther than they had ever been before and farther than they've ever been since then. It wasn't Solomon's. There was peace in the reign of Solomon. But it was warfare during the reign of David. Now, he's an Oriental monarch. He had a sizable harem, which was the custom of that day. It's not that God approved it. He didn't approve it. And David was in hot water all the time because of that. These different sons of these different women that he had caused a constant brawl going on inside the palace. And it was really something that caused David woe and sorrow all of his life. But there's something we ought to note. David's foreign marriages were largely political, and they were relatively free from religious and moral corruption. Now, Solomon will be carried away by a foreign wife, but not David. David was not influenced by that at all, and there was no corruption connected with David's marriage at all. We need to note that. Now, he committed an awful sin. That wasn't in connection with this woman after he married her at all. There was no more, not even the breath of scandal after that. Now, David was a poet and musician who endeared himself to the people as the sweet psalmist of Israel. And it was David who planned the temple, which was to exalt the Lord and the religious life of the nation and the worship of Jehovah, although he was not permitted to build the Lord's house we'll see it was David's temple. Then there is an eighth legacy that he bequeathed to his son. Although there was still rivalry of a sort between the 10 tribes of the north and Judah in the south, and it had ever been since the death of Saul, even so David had no serious difficulty in uniting all the tribes under his rule, and no question about the national capital being at Jerusalem. And then the ninth and the last one that we'd mentioned, at the time of David's death, the nation was second to none in power and military prowess, and the people had a large measure of peace and freedom as every man sat under his vine and his fig tree. And the peace that Solomon enjoyed during his reign was a peace that had been made by David during his reign. So this man inherited a great deal, and a great deal of the credit that goes to Solomon actually, I think, belongs to David, and properly so.